Hi, everyone. Welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 46 for August 21st, 2018. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. If you listen to podcasts, we are also I'm also sharing all the episodes as audio-only podcasts on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever else you listen to the podcasts. Today, we will be discussing your trade ideas. And so over the last few days, about 30 people submitted up to 5 symbols each. And I have put together the list, which you should be seeing on your screen right now. And we're going to get through as many of those as we can. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com. And actually, 1 year ago tomorrow was the first episode of Analyze Your Trade. So thank you to everyone for watching. And thank you to Dean Jenkins for coming up with the idea. Dean was supposed to be here to moderate today, but I think he's having some technical difficulties. So I have Jim Kenny here. We're going to get through as many of these stocks as we can. And we'll see if Dean can join us in a few minutes. All right, Jim, for anyone who doesn't know about you, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Okay, thank you, David, and hopefully Dean can jump on here pretty quick, but until then, let me fill in for him. I'm Jim Kenny. I do provide the content for the Option Professor DVDs, which is an education firm learning about the uses and risks of all the different strategies of options for income, cash flow, hedging purposes, as well as limited risk speculation, and of course, different types of trading. So there's a lot of information at Option Professor, and we try to help people get up to speed so they know what they're doing a little bit better. As I always say at every broadcast I do, the past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results, and there is a risk of loss in short term and in option trading. And before you do any activity, you should consult, obviously, your clearing firm who you're doing business through, and use your own good common sense and do the things that make sense. Today, I'm going to be showing some factual prices, and I'll be also offering opinions throughout the broadcast as well. Okay, there are 15 stocks here, and they are a diversified group, so there's quite a bit of difference going on. Just real briefly, everybody who's been watching today know we hit all-time highs on a lot of things, and we also saw that at the end of the day, some of them did fade out a little bit at the end. So we'll have to see if there's carry through on Wednesday or Thursday, or if this was some kind of a short-term blow-off, and maybe there won't be follow-through. Only time will tell. Let's take a look at the first one here, which is Intel, symbol INTC. And we can see that this is a 1 year graph. I'm going to be showing a 1 year and a 10 year and a 10 day graph. So you can see over a 12 month period and then over the last couple of weeks what it looks like. Okay. And those two perspectives can sometimes be helpful. Intel obviously had a big run up here. It went 52 week low, 34, all the way up to 57.5. That's quite a run. And then, of course, it really came off from the 57 area all the way down towards 45. Now it's bounced up just a little bit today, up 2.5%, up $1.12, but still well under its high. And let's take a look at Intel on a 10-day basis and see if that gives us any indication of how the flow of traffic is going. Because obviously on a one-year basis, the flow still looks like it might be to the downside. There's a gap there over the last couple of weeks here between what, 49.5 or so, 49 and about 50. So if the market can get some legs, that might be an area where it might be trying to get to fill in that 49 to 50 area. And basically, it does look like it has some support in the last couple of weeks, right around 46. Looking at the detailed quote, I'm going to show you what the moving averages are doing. I like to look at moving averages because obviously they're based on facts, which is time and price, and they give you some idea of the flow of traffic here. The break under 50 certainly was not a good thing for Intel, and there could be resistance at 50, which is exactly where that gap is. So we'll have to see. And look at the moving averages here. The 50-day average is at 50.83 and the 200 days at 49.30. So they are still inverted to the upside barely, but if it stays under 50 for any more length of a time, you know, they'll start getting a little bit more inverted if that happens. But you can see between 49 and 50, not only are the moving averages there, but there's a gap there. So I'll be very interested to see if this thing can get through 47. If it got above 50 and then 51 and held, then I think it would make more sense to be constructive on this technically, because that would show that it was able to not only fill the gap, but get above the gap. And this, of course, is in a sector of semiconductors, which have been under some pressure. The index SMH, the ETF SMH, is a proxy for the semiconductor industry, you know, broad-based ETF. And again, on that one there, it's at 104.81, and that was up 2% today. So the semis definitely had a bid today, but as you can see from the graph, there could be some resistance above. Turning to the next stock, Amazon, that did give back quite a bit of its up move today at the end. Let's take a look at Amazon. Obviously, the huge retailer and just overall behemoth of the consumer. And of course, the consumer has been really out there spending. That's why the retail stores are doing so great and the sneaker companies are doing great. And just about anything that people spend money on seems to be doing pretty good. And excuse me, the stock is 1883, but look at the high today, 1897. It's 14 bucks off the high. So it did come off a little bit off the high. You can see it's obviously been steady Eddie on the upside. The 52-week low, 930, and we recently hit 1925. So that's a pretty darn big run. Let's look at it on a 10-day basis and see if that gives us any indication of what's been cooking. And as you can see, after it hit that 1925 area, it has been losing altitude, and it does seem to have some lower highs. So you got 1920 ballpark as a high, then you have a little over 1900 as a high, and then you had today just a little under 1900 as a high. So if we were to take out, which I'm not saying will happen, but if it does take out 1860, a more significant correction may be in the cards. Looking at the detailed quote, let's take a look there. And therefore, you see, look where the 200-day average is. That's at 1493. Basically, if you take the high today of 1897 and subtract the 1493, then divide it into the you get about a 27% distance between the 200-day average and the price. Now, in this kind of a stock, it could go wherever it wants to go. But a general concept of overbought condition, certainly if a stock's getting to be 30% or more above its 200-day average, you know, some people do believe that's a little on the stretch side. We'll have to see if that's the case here. But, you know who they are. Huge retailer, monster, right? And a bit. Look at the graph there on the left. You can see it's been also a monster rally. That 2000 mark looks like it would love to get to, but that doesn't mean it couldn't have a pullback in the interim. So again, we'll have to see how things go, but obviously a very, very strong company. And the only thing that one might think is if it did have a pullback, there might be a better entry point than right here today. Only time will tell. 50-day average is at 1785. That might be the first place where a discounted value would make some sense. But there you go. And that's Amazon. Walmart had big results this week, and that's another retailer, obviously, in that space. Advanced Micro Devices. Let's turn to the next one here. Advanced Micro Devices. Let's take a look at what that looks like technically. Let's go back to the one-year graph first. Give you a look at that. This is another company that's gone through the roof. 52-week low, 9. Hit 52-week high today, 2041, and it closed at 2040, so it didn't back off very much at all. And let's take a look at the graph here so you can get a better perspective. Now, that volume that was huge, where it went up to 20, and now the volume being way down, and it's up at 20 again, you know, you'd like to see the volume kind of be strong and not have too much of a blow-off type thing. But there's legs in it right now, and as of today, the stock has been very strong. But obviously, it's had a very, very big run-up in a relatively short period of time. Let's take a look at a 10-day basis and see if, I'm sure it's not going to look too much different because it's on its all-time high, but let's just see what it looks like on a 10-day basis. And on a 10-day basis here, you can see again, it has made a new high here. And I would say that if it started to break underneath 20, that might not be a good sign. And let's see how far away it is from its 200-day moving average. And on the 200-day moving average, this has pretty good short interest. 17% of the stock is short. So there is people who might have to cover shorts on a rally. You're at 1296. That's about 13. At let's round it up to 21 minus 13. And then this thing is 61% above its 200-day average. So by definition, that's very, very, very extended. Doesn't mean it can't keep going. I'm just trying to tell you, you know, these are sometimes warning signals that it's in a little bit of a stretch position right now. So, you know, there are tactics that people people use when they think their stocks are stretched. One might be a put option. If they think the price is not too exorbitant, put a little insurance on it in case it drops. Another is a collar strategy where you sell an out of the money call and take the premium and buy an insurance put with the premium. So there are different strategies. You need to know the entire strategy, use and risk before you do anything, and other factors that come into play. But when you're extended like this, sometimes people start investigating married puts and collars to protect their equity. Okay, let's go. And this is in the semiconductor area as well. So again, we did say that it had a good day. You saw SMH and you've seen Intel. So you can see the sector itself had a pretty good day today. Okay, let's turn towards the next one you've got here, which is oil stock. And we're in a different sector now, energy. And let's take a look at what ExxonMobil looks like. ExxonMobil, you've got 78.83. And let's go back. He says, hang on a second here. And there you go. Well, what a real dump it had when it hit 90, huh? And that was about the high of the 52-week. And it ran all the way down to 72, and now it's back at 78 and change. Got a big dividend there. According to the screen, it's 416. You have to verify that, but that's what the screen's saying. And basically, it's having some trouble getting back above 84. You can see all those high points around 84. Energy obviously has had a pullback. A lot of people think it might be range-bound. So if energy is going to be range-bound, maybe it's possible this thing trades between 74 and 84 for a while. We'll have to see. Let's look at the moving averages here real quick. Again, it's in the major oil and gas business, as we all know, who's ever gone into a filling station to get gas. And basically, you're at 81.20 on the 50-day, and you're at 80.62 on the 200-day. Still inverted to the upside, but the stock is trading under both averages, which is concerning. And if you look at the chart on the left, it definitely looks like somebody's been selling here in the recent past. So getting back above 81.82 and holding would be very constructive to this thing. Of course, above 84 would be very, very constructive. And then above 90, then it would be in a situation where you could maybe start thinking about much higher levels. So right now it's on the defensive. Right now it's had a little bit of a bounce. It's kind of in a sideways pattern now, 74, 84 kind of range. And we'll have to see what the price of oil does and how these earnings come out before we find out exactly what these guys might be able to do for you. One last thing I will show you here is the 10-day graph, which gives you an indication of the last couple of weeks. And let's see what that looks like on the last couple of weeks basis. Okay, on the last couple of weeks, Exxon has been fading, then coming back up, and then back fading. So came in from the 81 area down to 76.5, came back up to 79.5, where there was some resistance, and there's a gap there. Was unable to fill that gap, which is not great. Might still try to do it, but so far it's failed to fill that gap on the left there. And then it has rolled over a little bit to the downside. So, you know, filling that gap above 80, 81 would be constructive. And then getting above 84 would be very constructive. And this might be something that you try to wait for momentum to kick in. Unless you really feel strongly energy and these things are going to start moving, then you'd want to take care. Then you'd want to take advantage of the discounted price off the 52-week high of 89. Okay, that's Exxon. That's the energy sector. What else is happening? We got Netflix, okay? Netflix was a big boomer, and then it came back down. And then today, I think it had a big day for a while. Let's see what it did. In the last 10 days, let's start out with the 10-day here. Last 10 days, been a pretty volatile ride. We were at 355 area, 350. We came all the way down to 310. That's a pretty big dump. And then we came back up to 340 area, and now we're at 338. So I'll have to see if this thing is just having a rebound rally and then going back in the defensive position, or if in fact it is going to be able to hold its gains here. But clearly it's been very volatile. So people that are trading it to the downside when it's up and to the upside when it's way down have certainly liked the volatility. That is the last 10 days. Let's look at the longer term, which would be the 1 year, and give you a perspective on what Netflix looks like technically over the last year. And as you can see, it looks like it had a double top at 420. Remember they were talking 420 for Tesla there for a little while before they took it over to the downside. But there you go, 420 double top there. And then it has been on the defensive. You can see it's had a little blip to the upside. And let's take a look at the moving averages. And of course, it did drop over $100 off its high. So I think their subscribers did not increase as much as people hoped. And I think that was a problem for them. Plus, again, look where that 200-day moving average is, 294. Okay. Let's say recently when you're at 350 minus 294, gives you a about a 20% over the moving average. And that's not extremely overbought, but it certainly is a bit stretched. But when this thing was up at 423, what do you think the 200-day average was? It might have been $10, $20, $30 less than it is today. And if that's the case, then how much overbought would we be if even if we were here today? 423 on the high minus 294. And of course, the moving average probably was lower when it hit the 423. But just use this as just an indication, or let's just say an example. And it would be at that point 43% above the 200-day. So there you go. When you get too far above the 200-day, no matter how great the company, there is a stretch point. And then, of course, there's an order imbalance where everybody who wanted to get in might have got in. And then, of course, if the news sobers up, there's not a whole lot of buyers left, and it can fall under its own weight. And I think that's kind of what happened to Netflix here a little bit. Okay, let's keep going here to the next one, which is MRO. Let's just say on Netflix, it went home at 338. What was the high today? The high was 341. So it held most of its gains. So from that standpoint, it wasn't bad. Okay, MRO, Marathon, back in the energy sector. Okay. Last year, let's see what it looks like. The low's been 10, the high been 22. So this thing's doubled from the low to the high in the last 52 weeks. That's not bad. And it hit a high. That peak there above 22 looks a little bit peaky so far. But it does seem to be holding the 19 area pretty well. Let's take a look here at the last 10 days and see what's been going on. Again, you know, oil had a drop. Now it's gone sideways. So a lot of the stocks, you know, had a big rally with oil rallying. Then they've gone back into a little bit of a stable price zone or pullback because oil's done the same. This thing had a big gap to the downside on percentage terms, I guess about 10 or 15%. Going from about 2075 area down all the way to 19. And there was a gap there, which it just filled. So now that it's filled the gap, and there's a gap underneath a little bit around 20. If it starts trading under 20, I would consider that not very constructive. And if it is going to try to fill that gap down there at 19, you can see a little bit of a gap down there as well. So I would look for that 20 to be some support. If it didn't hold, then I would prepare myself possibly for some additional downside. And again, on the 10-day basis, you do have a little bit of a gap there at 19. But overall, obviously, this is a company that's done very well, and it is a company that if energy does have a bright future, it probably will be part of that future. And let's just look at the moving averages real quick. Go down here, and you see that 50 days at 2069 and the 200 days at 18. And you can see it has broken that 20 mark, and now it's back to the 20 mark. So it'll be very important between now and Friday that we start seeing prints of 20 or 20 and a half, 21, and not see prints of under 19. And then basically you got the 200-day that you could use as a strap to hold on to at 18. But if it can't get above 2070, which is the 50-day average, that wouldn't be very constructive. So keep an eye on it. And basically, as energy prices go, you'll probably have a better idea of what this thing's going to do as well. Turning towards the next one, which is Facebook. That one had got clobbered. Again, it definitely had some user issues among the fines that are looking at and all the rest of the using data, using private information kerfluffle that's been going on. And of course, it did get punished recently when it had the big drop from the 220 to 18 area. And I think it went down towards 160 or something. Let's find out. Okay, it went from the 218 area, and just out of the blue there, it dropped all the way to 170, bounced back to 190, which is kind of like where that low was around there, and now it's back on the defensive. Are we hitting a double low at 170? If you're long, I guess you're hoping for that. But this is another one. If you look at the graph, it probably was very far away from its 200-day moving average. And again, when they get very far from their 200-day average, I don't care how great the company is, there is a risk that if any sobering news happens, you are going to get selling. And if you get selling where everyone has already bought, it can fall under its own weight. And that's another, you know, explanation of what occurred here at Facebook. They got that bad report right near the high. And then basically, you know, everybody wanted to get out. There's no buyers. Market makers drop the bid as low as they can, take all the market, all the orders in. The volume dries up. We bounce up to 190, and now the people are back on the sell side here. And now we're hoping 170 will hold up. Looking towards the 10-day chart, a little shorter term, what's it been doing? Went from 186 and it got sold off. Went down to 172 and it's been in a range 172, 174. So we can get above 174, 176. It could be trying to get back on the bicycle. And if it starts taking out 170 and there's a reason for it, you know, then of course we could have further downside. Where are the moving averages here? Let's take a look. Yeah, 181, 193. So, you know, we're up at 218. You know, let's say this thing was about 175, just as a number. 218 minus 175, it would have been about 25% above its 200-day moving average. Okay, get some bad news. Bam, you get selling coming in. Nobody's on the other side to speak of, and they drop the bid. Okay, so anyway, yeah, Facebook is meandering down here, and everyone's trying to figure out, has the long-term story changed on it or not? 150 seems to be a very solid line in the sand, and so that would be definitely a defensible point if you're bullish, and basically it could be an area where if you're a believer, between here and 150 might be the area that you'd start taking a bite if you didn't think it was going to take out 150, if you're a longer-term holder, that type of thing. But the winds of change can blow. Blew on Twitter as well, and when they blow, you know, people do get out, and this is a very big company with a whole bunch of companies that they own, so it is a situation where it may very well be showing you a discounted price that might have value, providing, you know, all things stay equal. All right, let's turn to Apple, which was the one that was rallying very, very big after their earnings report, and everybody was plowing in. Let's see how it's doing now. Looks like 215 is the current price, and as you can see, that 220 area where it almost hit seems to be right now the high point. And the longer it stays up there, maybe the more likelihood that it could pull back a little bit. You got a gap between 190 area and about 196, and that was when they hit the earnings. Will it ever come back in there? If the news sobers up, you know, obviously that would be an area where people who want to be longer term holders might start taking a look at it. But there's no assurance, of course, that that is going to drop back like this. These guys are the first trillion-dollar company, right? And if you walk around the world, you know, everyone's got their handheld device, and they don't look like they're going to get rid of it anytime soon. And there are a lot of different ways to monetize that, which they're exploring. So as far as the fundamentals of the firm are concerned, and the PE ratio is not off the charts, and they're sitting on a ton of cash. So, you know, and they have agreed to buy their stock at some point. So there's a lot of good things on this company. Let's take a look at the last 10 days, though. You might see that the bloom has come off the rose just a little bit. And there's your last 10 days with the market move above 218 to 219, 220. And you got your gap there between 210 and about 212. Maybe you could fill in that gap here in the short run. Looks like a pretty good support in the last couple of weeks around 210. So that would be an area that I'd probably be taking a look at it if it was going to go down and fill that gap if you were, you're bullish and you're fortunate enough to get it to pull back like that. Turning to the moving averages. They're at 179. So when you were up there at almost 220, where were you here? 220 minus 180, let's say, ballpark. Yeah, you're 22% above the moving average on a very, very big company. So, and the volume there seems to be a little light. The 50-day volume is 24 million shares a day. The 200-day volume is 30 million shares a day. So the rally has been accompanied by a little bit of lighter volume, and that's not sometimes that constructive. So we'll have to see what happens. Great company. The question is, where do you want to get in? Do you want to get in at 220 hoping it doesn't have a pullback, or do you want to be patient, see if you get a pullback, and then take advantage of the pullback? That's something you have to decide. But, you know, it's a good company, and you know it's a big company, and you know a lot of big famous investors are in there. So, you know, it's a matter of what where you want to get onto the train. We're going to turn to the next one here, which is, and there's new products coming up here in the fall, I guess, which is going to be another stimulant one way or the other. And if you look at most of the ETFs, the large ETFs, Apple is really at the top of the list of what they own. So every time people put money into ETFs, it obviously brings more buying into Apple as well. So there's an old phrase, you know, bad-mouthing Apple is like bad-mouthing Santa Claus. And I think that's pretty much an accurate statement right now. MU, Micron Technology, another big mover from 29 and change in the 52-week low up to as high as 64 and then back down a bit. Let's take a look at that one. And a good day. And again, technology sector, semiconductor sectors all did pretty good today. And what are you looking at here? You're looking at a stock that pulled back from 65 down to 45. So certainly the bloom came off the rose there. Again, when you get way away from the averages, sometimes it comes back down. We'll look at those moving averages in a second. But it is up almost 4% today. So that's a pretty good day for the people on the long side. The 10-day chart on it probably showing some improvement. And There you go. Line this up for you. Yeah, big drop down from the 54 area down to 46. And then, of course, the turnaround. Right now, you got a gap between 48 and 49. So I have to see if it's going to give it up and go back in there. There was a gap, as you can see, between about 50, 51, which it went into today when it went to 50, 37. And so if it starts slipping tomorrow and gets under 49, obviously, it'll be trying to fill in that gap and then see what it can do. I think the key here might also be the moving averages and see if there's any type of a 50 or 200 day average you can hang your hat on. Again, this is a semiconductor sector, so obviously it had a pretty good day today. And there's your moving averages. They are inverted still to the upside, 54 and 50. That's the good news. Bad news is that the market is trading underneath the average. You know, if this thing got back above 50, you can see from the graph on the left, 45 looks like some pretty stable support. And so if it got above 50, that would be a good sign. Above 55, that would be above the 50 day, and then the recent highs of 60. So those, I think, are three levels of the sand right now, 50, 55, and 60. And as they get above there, the momentum could be turning up quite big. On the downside, I don't think you want to see it under 45. If it did that, I think technically that would be a pretty lousy thing. The volume has been a little bit higher during the drop lately, so that's not a tremendously good thing either. And so I have to keep an eye on it, but it's a stock that had gone up, had pulled back. It is volatile between 45 and 60. So you're down closer to the support, and maybe it'll try to go back up to resistance. Only time will tell. But right now, there are some resistance zones above that it would probably be better to see them breach before getting too excited. Turning towards number 10, it is CGC. Okay, let's get the right symbol up here and give you a little chart on that. That's one I'm not familiar with, so I'll be learning something today myself. Maybe I know the company, but I'm not that familiar with the symbol because I don't trade it. This is the marijuana, yep, canopy. And a lot of people are very constructive on this. That's the very good news. The other news is that it's already had a pretty big run. Constellation Brands took a position, I think, in this company. So that was a big, spirit company getting involved a bit. Certainly it got to 25 and started gapping up, probably on the news of the Constellation brand purchase. And let's see what that's doing on a 10-day basis and see if there's a little reason to think it might be slowing down a bit. Hang on a second. But, you know, if this is going to be legalized throughout the country and if it's going to be an alternative spirit to wine and liquor and beer, then obviously on a longer term basis, these guys might be a great thing to put away. Huge gap on the 10-day, obviously, when that Constellation brand news hit. And we went from 24, boom, right to 30. And so there's a huge gap there that if the tide were to change, maybe that would be used as a magnet to use as support if it got some news for people to be concerned about. If it gets above 40, you know, that'd be all-time high or, you know, 52-week highs. And so obviously it would be back into the ozone getting above 40. Let's take a look at the moving averages here. And again, in some industries, you know, sometimes these numbers don't mean anything from the standpoint of, you know, if everyone's plowing in, they don't care what the averages are. Ultimately, they may. But when the plowing in is going on, sometimes they don't. This thing has some short interest of 8.3%. And look at that. You're at 24 on the 200-day and you're trading at 30. So you're 16 bucks above it, which means in terms of percentage, you are about 66% above the 200-day average. And by definition, that's obviously an extended market. Having said that, look at that volume. And look at the volume today, 20 million shares today. So, you know, again, remember this when volume's going big one way or the other. There has to be a buyer for every seller, right? So when you see the volume big and you see a big price move up or down, remember somebody's selling into that or somebody's buying into that. And if that volume were to dry up at some point and there's nobody behind it to keep the bid going, that's sometimes how some of these things do back off. But that is very impressive jump in volume. The 50-day volume is twice what the 200-day is. So that's people plowing in. And also the 20 million shares today, that's very impressive volume. So this is a company that's supposed to be one of the front runners if the marijuana industry is going to be mainstreamed out and become a much larger business than what it is now. These guys are being picked up by big companies. So that's a little bit of a, that's an endorsement of some type. You know, when they buy that much of this particular company, they must feel that this company, after doing their own due diligence, if there's going to be a future in the business, these guys might be in on that. So there you go with Canopy Growth. And the story would be very, very bullish volume-wise, very, very bullish price-wise. And the only, you know, thing is the price basis, the 200-day average is a bit stretched. And again, if it can't get above the 40 level, then you're you're looking at a short-term high point. Okay, that is what's going on with the cannabis industry. Let's turn now to CSX. Let me get the symbol corrected here. This is going to be a transport stock, I believe. Let me just double check here. And the Dow Transports, yeah, you go railroad. And Dow Transports made an all-time high today. So obviously, this thing took advantage of that. The high today was 75.14. There you go on the one-year graph. So if the Dow Transports made a new high, all-time high, then you got to figure this thing's on the boat, right? So that's a very big jump. 65, there's a gap. I don't know if it'll get down to that. Only it will only happen if there's a turn in the news. And let's just see what it looks like on a 10-day basis, a little shorter-term perspective, right? And there it looks a little roundy up at around 75 where we hit the highs today. And is there any gaps underneath? Let's take a look. Yeah, not too many gaps underneath. So, you know, let's take a look at the moving averages, see what's going on there. But, you know, when you hear the consumers going crazy with the buying and, you know, the products and the merchandise has got to get moved around, you know, the railroads and the UPSs and the FedExes should do pretty well. That's why it's making an all-time high on the transports, I guess. So railroads and the transportation stocks, you know, they're definitely doing pretty good the last week or so. Big company, $63 billion market cap. This is no mom and pop outfit by any means. And there you go. You got a 68 on the 50-day, and you've got 59 on the 200-day. Taking a look at $75 minus $59, round numbers, you are 27% above the 200-day average. So is the market prices look good? Yes. Does the industry look good? Yes. Does it pay a dividend? Yes, it does. And the PE ratio is 10, according to my screen. You know, so all that stuff is good. The only caveat technically would be, one, it is 27% above approximately the 200-day moving average. And B, the volume on a 50-day basis is 5.4 million shares versus a 200-day of 6.3 million. So you're making an advance on lighter volume than it has been averaging on a 200-day basis. And look at today's volume, only 4.8 million. So the volume is not telling me that, that there's as much conviction as there was, say, on that Canopy stock volume. But again, most indicators here obviously are very positive and have been. That's why the stock's gone from 45 to 75 this year. So that's a pretty big jump. So when you hear good news about this stuff, you always have to factor in what? How much of that news has been factored into the price already? Okay. And, you don't want to fight the tape, but you also, want to recognize overbought, oversold potentialities as well. Okay. Next one we're going to talk about here is JP Morgan. We're jumping over to the banking industry. Let's look at the ETF on banking and financial stocks, XLF. Here you go. Had a pretty good day today, although it did come off the high a little bit, but it has been kind of in a situation. The X has been trying to go up ever since it had that big blow off to 30 here early in January. And this thing is still trying to get above that 29 area. And if it goes above 29 and 30, then obviously all these people that were bullish in January who had to wait all the way here till almost September to see it get back on its bicycle may actually end up being correct. Some people think two things. The inverted yield curve that might be coming could be negative for banks. Why? Because obviously they do have to pay more on deposits. And if the short-term rate is going higher, but the back end is not going higher, what they can charge on their loans is not going up on the same pace as the front end where they have to maybe pay on deposits, CDs and things like that. So that might be a factor on why this thing hasn't gone quite as much. And loan demand is something else that people are somewhat concerned about. We'll have to see if the consumer is going to keep going nuts here and start buying a lot of things on credit cards and, you know, really starting to push the envelope here. You know, JP Morgan is clearly right in the middle of all that. And they certainly have got a tremendously wide distribution. So they are definitely one of the lead dogs when you're talking about financial stocks, no doubt about it. Let's take a look at their stock and see what it looks like. Okay, you're at 115 on JP Morgan here, and there you go. Been kind of trying to get back to the high. High has been 119. It came down here. There's a gap there you see on the graph that it's trying to fill in. If it fills that in and keeps going, that would be bullish. If it fills this in and then starts taking out the 113 area, that would be more of concern. So it's kind of in no man's land here. If we take out 119, that's all-time highs, I believe. And if you take out 113, then maybe it would be rolling over a little bit to the downside. Let's look at the 10-day. Give us a shorter term, get an idea what the shorter term looks like. You got a gap there, like I told you, right between 116, 117. Today it hit 116 and change. So we got about halfway into the gap, then turned over. And let's get the chart all the way on there so you can see the whole thing. Okay, a little too much. Here you go. Okay, so again, gap down there at 114. Got filled pretty much when that thing came down there. Little tiny gap there under 115, 114 and three quarters. So if it got some selling, there could be some support in that area. And let's take a look at the moving averages. What are they telling you? Again, major international bank is there, and talk about a big company, $385 billion. It's no Apple, but it's certainly a pretty darn big bank. Huh? Okay, here you go. 110 and 109. So it's inverted to the upside and the stock is trading above it. Not a lot to argue there, huh? And it's not very far from the 200-day average. So if you want to take a bite, you got some lines in the sand of which you could use to defend. And the lines in the sand are not very far from the current price. Volume is kind of flat to a little bit off. Today's volume really wasn't very much at all. 10 million shares is underneath the 50-day and the 200-day. So, you know, you don't want volume to dry up and the price to dry up at the same time and then get whacked with some kind of news that wasn't expected, because that could be problematic. If you look at the graph on the other side, though, in the corner there, you can see 105 is the base, 120 is the top, back and forth, back and forth. We're coming off the 120 area here a bit. So is it going to go down and test 105 again? Could be, if the news doesn't go as they hope. And some of these economic numbers on the consumer or loan demand or the interest rate picture changes a bit. But if we get above 120 with that kind of sideways action, 105 to 120, some technicians would measure that distance between the beginning of this year and the current price. And then if we broke above 120, they'd measure that to the top 120 and get a target price using the trading range width and adding it to the breakout point to come up with a target on where JP Morgan could go if the markets break out, like some people think, in the fourth quarter, and if there's possible melt up, which some people are talking about. If there's a melt up in the market, you would imagine JP Morgan would be in there. Again, on ETFs that are broad based on the S&P 500, you've got your Apple, you've got your Google, and you're definitely going to have some JP Morgan generally in there as well. So as people put money in the stock market ETFs, again, it compels some of the managers to continue to buy the stock because it's part of the ETF. Okay, turning to the next one here. We only got about 10 minutes to go, so let's wrap this thing up here. We certainly covered a lot of stocks and a lot of material. Hopefully, you guys are getting some value out of what we're talking about here today. This is another one I'm not that familiar with, Wisdom Tree China. Okay, we know it's a China fund. A lot of people think China's been beaten up, and a lot of people think that China might be hitting a low point down here, particularly if we strike any kind of a deal with China regarding all this tariff stuff. And, you know, with the midterms coming up and the way news tends to come out coincidentally with things, it wouldn't knock me off my seat if we got some kind of agreement going into the midterms. And that would be another bullish activity possibly. So as you can see, this thing has been coming down from 36 to 26. So if you're a guy who likes to buy low and sell high, the prices on the last 52 weeks, the high was 35 and the low about 25. So 26 and change is kind of down there. And, you know, it is improving a little bit off the low. So you're not very far from the low, if you want to use that as a line in the sand. And again, going back towards 30, could that happen? Well, you know, if they do reach agreements and to call the dogs off on this tariff thing, I would imagine it it very well could happen. So if you are bullish on China and you think that they're going to call the dogs off after a, what, 33% drop or so, then, you know, that might be worthwhile for you. Volume on this thing's very low, though. So I think there's other ways to play China that are different than this that might have better volume. 2,572 looks pretty skinny to me. So I would investigate all the different ways to invest in China before I would just step in here for some reason. Not, I'm not bad-mouthing the fund. I'm not familiar with it, but I'm saying the volume doesn't really hit me as that big. 50-day volume is 5,000 shares a day, so the volume is drying up. 200 days at 10,000. Both those numbers obviously are very low. But that doesn't mean, you know, if you're a smaller trader, that it's that big of a deal. You might want to keep an eye on what the bid offer is when stocks don't have much volume or options don't have much volume. Sometimes they expand the bid COVID-esque spread. So you got to be careful of that. But anyway, this is in China, and it's an exchange-traded fund from WisdomTree, and it has been going down ever since it all came out, which is in January. And again, this does look like the classic catch a falling knife. Huh? It almost looks like a knife coming down there on the left. But again, there are some people who think that there could be some turnaround in things like Baba and some of the other ones that have been hit, Tencent, etc. Okay, got two more. Let's go. PPA. Another thing that might help over there is if the dollar were to drop a little bit, might be something that would be helpful to them as well. All right, let's take a look here. PPA. Okay, aerospace and defense, you know, that obviously had a good day today, a bit up almost 1%. And as you can see, in the last year, it has been matriculating to the upside. Okay, let's get the screen going here. Yeah, the low right around 48, and it has been up to 60. So again, this is companies that don't move all that fast sometimes, Invesco. But, you know, all-time high was 59.42. They made the all-time high today. And industrials and stuff like this is supposed to possibly be having a bright fourth quarter if the markets are going to go on that big run, and they are not in a big overbought condition. So there is value here as far as the price, and it is beginning to make its move. So from that standpoint, it would be very interesting to me. I've been looking at a Vanguard ETF, VIS, which is a industrial ETF, which looks interesting. But as you can see in the left-hand chart there, a lot of resistance at 60. So if they can't get through 60, it could roll over from here. You got to be careful. And let's just take a look here. There's your 50-day average at 57 and your 200-day average at 56. So there's your lines in the sand if you're using moving averages, not very far from the price, like I was telling you. And if you can break out above 60, this sideways pattern that we've seen, if it's going to be a deal like JP Morgan, where you measure the width of the trading sideways and add it to the breakout point, some people use that as an ability to forecast a target or a guess on where they think it could go. And this thing's been going sideways since January. So if it did break out, it certainly has quite the base to work off of. So industrials and aerospace here seem to be trying to turn up. The volume here is very interesting in that it's twice almost or more on a 50-day basis than a 200-day basis. So money certainly has been coming in volume-wise on this. And that's a constructive thing. And today's volume was strong again at 43,000 shares. Again, not the biggest volume around, so you could investigate other aerospace and defense ETFs to see if there's a more liquid or a different one you might feel more comfortable with. But again, this thing does look like it's trying to turn up, but as you can see, there's an awful lot of resistance to 60, and until we break 60, you might give the old Missouri license plate motto, you know, the show me state. You might want to say, show me you can get above 60 before you get too excited. Okay, let's talk about Play, PLA. Why? And PLAY is Dave and Buster's. Everybody's been there, knows they have all the games in there and the sports on TV and some bar chow in there. And let's see what that's been doing. Volatile, right? Starts at 60, goes down to 40, goes back up to 55, goes back to 45. Now it's back at 55. So if this was a car driving on the road, the cop would probably pull it over for weaving, right? Because it's all over the place. And again, the gaps, you know, you get a gap down and you're way down at 40. Look what it did. Went up and filled the gap. Then there was a gap there at under 50. What did it do? Went down and filled the gap. Now it's back up. So let's take a look, and if we can, on the moving averages to get us some idea what the overall smoothing out of the numbers look like. And you can see here that from this chart on the left, I would say that 45 looks like your support that you would want to definitely not get broken. So that's a line in the sand to defend against at 45. And you can see if it breaks above 60, that would be very, very constructive on the chart here. So there's your two lines in the sand, 45 and 60, with the stock trading at 55. Volume today, 468,000. And how does that shape up on the 50-day and the 200-day? Well, that's pretty skinny because on a 50-day basis, you're a million shares a day, and a 200-day, 1.2. So today's volume was half of what it's been averaging or less. So that's not that great. And your moving averages are not in bad shape, though. You got a 50-day at 50 and a 200-day at 47. They're inverted to the upside, so that's not bad news if you're bullish. And the short interest at 13% does indicate that there's people who could cover if, in fact, it got moving higher. Because, you know, short interest, if starts moving higher, sometimes those shorts will cover. Then it gives you additional buyers. But the volume would be of concern to me. I don't know why there was no volume to speak of today. We'll have to find out why. And again, getting above that 60 area would be very important to me, because late last year, beginning of this year, it couldn't do it. And then about the middle of this year, it couldn't do it. And now it's making another attempt. So if it can't do it, you know, you'd want to be careful. But again, the consumers got the money, right? They got the tax refunds. They're all working. They like to spend money. The malls are going crazy. So obviously Dave and Buster's, you know, is a consumer type deal. And so from that standpoint, if we're going to have the consumer be real strong through the end of the year, it seems that it wouldn't be unlikely that these guys could benefit from that. Again, you know, you like to have lines in the sand underneath, and certainly 45 and 47 would not be bad ones to keep an eye on as well. It looks like we're just about out of time here. We certainly went over all the stocks. I guess when it's just one guy here rather than a three-man panel, you get through a lot more stocks. And I hope that was a good thing for you guys out there. My name's Jim Kenny, and there's a lot of different things you can do with options on these things. You can use the options as a hedge so that you can stay with positions, but you have some insurance on the position. You can generate cash flow by option writing. And then, of course, you could go to a limited risk speculation from a large position and basically stay with the market, but have your cash risk reduced dramatically. So with these markets doing what they're doing, there's a lot of different ways to work with the options in concert with your position with a bunch of different objectives. And again, I've been doing this for decades, so I am fairly knowledgeable on the product. And I do invite you all to contact me with any questions you have at optionprofessor@gmail.com. That's optionprofessor@gmail.com. You got questions, you got comments, you'd like to speak to me directly, just shoot me an email. I'll be more than happy to help you. Until next time, I appreciate everybody being here. I know David does as well, and I'm sure Dean will be back next time to help us out as the moderator. Until then, I'm going to turn it back over to David now.
All right. Thanks, Jim. I was telling people in the live chat that this is a great preview for the weekly video series and podcast that I'm helping you set up. So, yeah, like I mentioned in the chat, you can either contact me or email Jim to get more information about his weekly upcoming show.
Yeah, that'd be great. I forgot to invite everybody. I'm certainly be more than happy to invite everybody and hope to see them out there on a weekly basis as we try to keep on top of things.
Yeah, yeah. And for everyone, just a reminder, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to any of the past shows there. Also, be sure to join us next week. Crowd Forecast News will be the next episode of that, August 27th, Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And that'll be the four-year anniversary of that show. And then the next episode of this show will be next Tuesday, again at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Just want to thank Jim Kenny of optionprofessor.com. So thanks, everyone.
Thank you, David.